Welcome to this episode of The DeMartini Show. Today, Dr. DeMartini discusses how to manage distractions and increase engagement. Dr. John DeMartini is a human behavior specialist. He's an educator and an internationally published author. He spent over 48 years researching everything he could find in order to understand what drives human behavior and performance, and the most efficient and effective ways to empower and inspire lives. There is a science to increasing engagement and managing distractions, and in this week's inspiring session, Dr. DeMartini discusses the significance of knowing your highest values in order to increase your engagement and productivity. That means you'll learn how to set goals that you'll achieve, and by doing so, you'll end up walking your talk. So get ready for a powerful presentation. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready because you're likely to take many notes. Enjoy.
So the first one, Dr. DeMartini, what are the factors that drive high versus low engagement when it comes to kids or staff or ourselves?
Well, engagement, hi everybody. Engagement is being present and inspired to participate in whatever's going on or whatever the responsibilities you have in life. So engagement at work could be being present and productive at work. Engagement at school could be present and productive at school. In a relationship, you could have engagement in a relationship by being engaged and inspired by being with that person. So engagement can be in any of the seven areas of life. But engagement is a perception that whatever is happening or you're doing through your sensory perceptions or your actions is helping you fulfill what's most deeply meaningful and most important, what's highest in priority, what's highest in value in your life. So to increase engagement in an individual, one of the greatest questions that an individual can do is ask, how specifically is what I'm perceiving or learning or taking in my senses, or how specifically is what I'm doing with my motor actions, attentions or intentions, how specifically is doing that helping me fulfill what is most deeply meaningful to me, what's most priority to me, what's most highest value to me. If one can ask that question, answer that question, hold yourself accountable to that question, and make a link, the more links you make in your brain, neurologically, neuroplastically, you become engaged. So I think everybody has had a situation where they've read a book and they've just been engaged in the book and they didn't want to put it down. And other times they've read a book and they just put them to sleep and they just would fade and they just wouldn't remember what they were doing. One was engaged, one was disengaged. The same thing in a movie. You could be totally engaged in a movie and won't miss a thing of it. But at the same time, another movie, you could just be faded out in seconds. So anything that grabs your attention like that, that's engaging, is because it's you perceive it helping you fulfill what's meaningful to you. So by asking the question, how specifically is whatever is happening help you fulfill what's most deeply meaningful? Of course, you need to know what's really priority to you. A lot of times people haven't really narrowed that down and they haven't taken the time to do a value determination, for instance, to find out what really is their life is demonstrating is important to them. And they think something is valuable to them, but then when they do it, they're not engaged because what they're actually thinking is important isn't what's really important. And that happens a lot. I've asked people about how many want to be financially independent, everybody puts their hand up, but actually how many people want to be financially independent is very low. They want to spend money on lifestyle and not buy assets that accumulate wealth, for instance. So what they think is important, financial independence, isn't what it is. It's about spending money when consumerism and buying things for immediate gratification. So whatever is highest on one's value, if you can link whatever you're perceiving and doing to that, you're engaged. We've had people at work who were not inspired by their job. And we've asked them a simple question. So let's take the job responsibilities that you have, the individual actions you do in a day, and itemize them down, not broad vague generalities like accounting, but the specific actions. and how specifically is doing that helping you fulfill what you value most after we've defined what the values are? And at first they go, it's not. Well, then they're going to be disengaged. If they can't see it. A child who's not inspired at school is because they can't see how that class is going to help them do what they want to do. Children love learning. They just want to learn what's important to them. But if they don't see how that's going to be important to them, they're not going to be engaged. I personally think that it's a responsibility of every teacher to identify what the values of their students are, and then share how that class is going to help them fulfill their values so they're engaged. I think it'd just be a standard procedure. And if they do, it makes a huge difference. We've made a big difference in education by doing that. So identifying what it is that's really valuable to you, identifying how specifically some job action is helping you do it. If they answer that question and make links and keep making links, the more links they make, the more engaged they become. I can take a person who's not inspired at work and who is distracted, not focused, wanting to take breaks, wanting to eat, want to consume, go on the internet, whatever, and sit down and ask them that question, how specifically is doing this job, duty, and these series of responsibilities are going to help you fulfill what's really meaningful to you. And in a matter of minutes to hours, the more links I make, the more engaged they become. And their focus, their productivity, their creativity, their willingness to endure challenge, their resilience, their innovation all go up. It's really so simple, it's being overlooked. It's just mind-boggling how simple it is. But it's the taking the time to do it. And most people would rather bitch and be frustrated and disengaged than just simply do the things that actually make it work. So it doesn't matter what it is. It really doesn't matter what's happening around you. You can take whatever is happening around you and even whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. How does this help you fulfill your highest values? The more links you make, the more engaged you become.
And Dr. DeMartini, can you just quickly briefly walk us through just the steps of the value determination that you've got in terms of just to see how somebody can get to the engagement?
Well, if you ask somebody about what their values are, most people unknowingly are, because they've been raised by mothers, fathers, preachers, teachers, and because they've been inculcating the mores, traditions, conventions of peer groups of different scaled sizes, they have been injecting the values of those that are leaders in society's ideals, and they confuse what is really important to them individualistically compared to what they think it should be. Whenever you hear yourself saying, I should do this, I ought to be doing this, I need to do this, I got to do this, I have to do this, I must do this, I have to do this, that's an imperative deontological duty that you feel you're going to do. You're living by ought to's instead of what you would really love to's. And most people don't even know what their values are. And I've asked, tens of thousands of people over the years to define and write what they think their values are. And then I do a more objective evaluation and it's not the same. What they write are ideals, you know, honesty, integrity, peace, and all this other stuff. It's just bullshit instead of what their life is actually demonstrating is important to them. So I had to develop, as a result of that, a series of value determinants that gave at least a little bit more objective view based on what their life is actually demonstrating. Because if you go by what they say, they'll give you an idealism, and it'll give you an injected value by outside authorities. And that starts at a young age. Freud said it starts at age one. The second you stand up and start to walk around and everything else, you got to baby-proof a house, your mom starts saying no, yes, no, 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 yes, yes. And they start inculcating, as a result of dependency on the mother, the values of the mother. And so now there's a conflict between their own values and the mother's values. And we've called that socialization. We've called that how to fit in and conform to society. But that's great if you want to conform, but society doesn't evolve by conformists. It evolves by individuals that are innovative, that are willing to possibly be ridiculed for having new ideas. So most people conform. 99% of the population conform and have varying degrees of injected values instead of their own true life demonstrating values. So I had to go through there and identify something that would indicate what their life is demonstrating, not what they think it should be. And I look at how they fill their space, because even a baby in a little baby crib or whatever, will, if you toss something into the baby crib, the playpen or whatever, it will, if it's something that it wants that's really valuable to it, it'll stick in its mouth and it'll hold on to it and look at it, observe it and explore it and keep it close to it, to the baby. But if it's something that it doesn't want and it has no value on it, it will kick it out, throw, scream, cry, push it away. Because anything that is close to us, that's proximal to us, is valuable. Anything that we push away and don't want around our space is obviously less valuable. And so the what is measured in our intimate and personal space, our foot and a half to 4 feet around us, has a lot to do with what we value. So the first value determinant is, what do we fill our space with, our intimate space and personal space? What are the three highest priority items that most consistently we have around us? Could be our cell phone, it could be our computer, could be our children, it could be technology, it could be food, clothes. It depends on what we value. My daughter is involved in fashion, so around her were fashion items and clothes and things. So that was, she was looking at creative ideas. Myself, it was books for many years, and now it's computer really. So if you look at what a person's space is filled with, it tells you what they value. The second one is time. You know, if you look carefully at what you spend your time on, you make time, find time, spend time on things that are really valuable to you. You run out of time, don't want to spend time, and can't find time for things that aren't. And you may have a moment-to-moment variation based on the urgencies, but overall, the scheme of your life is demonstrating this. So you look at how you fill your space and how you spend your time. Those are two really great indicators of what's really valuable to you. Because if you say, I want to be financially independent, but your life doesn't demonstrate that you're accumulating wealth, and there's no demonstration of working and investing in money and stuff like that, then it's a fantasy. The third thing is what energizes you. When you're really around something that's valuable to you, your energy goes up. And when you're not, your energy goes down. So you look at what energizes you most. You know, I always have energy for doing presentations and educating and also my research. But I don't have patience, you might say, or a lot of energy for going to a cooking class, for instance, or a driving class. That would be it. Or going to a car show or something. That means nothing to me. So I'd be bored with that. So you look at where you're energized and where you're not, and what grows your energy, and you always have energy for it, and you're energized doing it, and you can wake up and you're animated, your reticular activating system is alive when you're doing it. That's an indication of what you value. The next one is what you spend your money on and find money for. You'll find money, you'll make money, you'll spend money on things that are valuable. And you won't want to spend money on something that's devalued. Who wants to spend money on something that they don't think is a value? They don't want to exchange that way. So look at where you spend your money, and it tells you what you value. When I was in my 20s, I was buying 40 to 70 books a week on average. And so I obviously had a value on learning and books, and was reading voluminously books. Later on in my life, it was different things. But right now, it's investments and education and getting messages out to the world. So you look at what you're spending your money on. The fifth thing, is where you most organized and ordered. Because things that are not really important to you, you don't get around to, you don't put order to them, it's chaotic and et cetera. But where your highest order is. My highest order is the knowledge that I've accumulated. My research is organized. My traveling is organized. My speaking is organized. So I look at where I'm most organized, and that's what you value. And if you say, well, I'm not organized, you're not paying attention to it. And if you think you're not organized because you're comparing yourself to other people and you're expecting to be organized in something that's not really important to you, but you think it is because you've injected that value, and that's confusing. So people go, I'm not organized. Yes, you are. You're organizing what's valuable to you. I've been doing it a long time. I guarantee it's true. The next one is, where are you most disciplined and reliable? You can count on me to be researching every day. You can count on me to be looking up articles. You can count on me to be updating and writing in my manuals for seminars. You can count on me for, up until recently, traveling. So whatever's highest on your value, you're extremely disciplined in, and you spontaneously do things. And that tells you what you value. The next three are what do you visualize? What do you think about? What do you visualize? And what do you internally dialogue with yourself about most, about how you would love your life to be, that shows evidence of coming true? And you take each one of those and you top, write down the top three answers to each, one after another. And they may be slightly different answers, but there'll probably be a scheme there, a theme there. It'll be reiterated. But what is it you think about, visualize, and affirm about how you would love your life? And make sure it's how you would love your life and not how you don't want it. And make sure there's evidence that you're making progress on it. If there's no evidence, don't write it down, because that's a whim or a fantasy. I need to know, what is the evidence? I have evidence that I want to travel the world, teach. I don't have evidence of other things that I fantasize about that don't show up. Don't write down things that aren't showing any evidence. Write down what is, and you'll see a pattern. I guarantee it'll be a pattern. The next one is, what do you want to converse with other people about most? And what do you keep engaging in conversations with people? If you do, you start to be extroverted and talk, and you tend to be engaged in listening. That tells you what you value. The next one is, what is inspiring to you and what's consistent to the people who inspire you? If I look at who've inspired me, it's been the great Nobel Prize winners and all their works, all the great philosophers and thinkers, all the leaders in various fields that were innovative, that created a new form, or the father of this, the mother of this, the originator of this. Anybody who's creative and original in their ideas, I've been inspired to read and study and read their biographies. So look at what is inspiring to you in people, and what is the things that you do that bring tears to your eyes. Every moment you actually get a tear in the eye from anything, listening to music or going to a movie or whatever, you get a tear. Write down what it was that was in your mind at the moment of the tear, and document the inspirations, because they're guides. The next one is, what are the three most consistent and persistent goals you have about what you want to create in your life that you're showing evidence coming true? What are the goals that are actually coming true? You know, I do a desire to travel the world. I desire to gather a vast amount of information and share it. They are coming true. There's other things that I thought were whims that I wanted to do, but it never got around to doing them. Those eventually fade out and you realize that they're just whims, they're not real. You got to look at what your life is really demonstrating to know what's really important to you. And the last one is, what do you love studying about, reading about, learning about, listening to about most, that you just spontaneously want to learn? Because you want to learn what's important to you. You don't want to learn things that aren't. You want to fill your mind with what's important. What's interesting is that if you answer all 13 of those questions and answer with integrity and not write down what you fantasize or what you wish it would be or hope it would be or what it used to be, but what it is now and recently and most consistently, if you do and answer three answers each, it'll summarize, and you'll look at which of those answers are repeated most, second most, third most, fourth most, and you'll have 3 to 5 answers that will be the top three values in your life. And if you look at that, you'll get a sense of it, and it'll be obvious. And you'll see your identity revolves around it. You'll see that the thing you love learning revolves around it. You'll see that that's where you're most disciplined. But by identifying through the value determination process, the 13 value determinants that I created, it increases the probability of being clear about what it is. And if you link what you perceive, what you decide, what you act on to that, you're going to be engaged. There's absolutely no reason why we can't be engaged. I tell people, either go do what you love through delegating, or go love what you do through linking. And engaging is about linking whatever you're doing, whatever you're perceiving, to whatever is highest on your values. So you start to see things on the way, not in the way. And you see things as feedback, not...
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now, let's continue with this episode.
Frustration or failure. A lot of people feel... I had a woman who was in a marriage, and the marriage broke apart. And she was beating herself up because she felt that she did things to undermine the marriage. She had a fantasy that it was supposed to be forever. And so then she failed and labeled herself a failure. She actually went around and said, I failed my marriage. I had a failed marriage. And I asked her a simple question. What specifically are you defining as a failed marriage? And she wrote them all down. I said, how is each one of those helping you fulfill what's highest on your value? We first determine her values by doing the value determination. And I just asked that question. And in 2 hours, yes, it took 2 hours, took me about 40 minutes or so to get the values out of her. And then it took another hour and 20 minutes to make the links. And when I got through, she goes, I didn't have a failed marriage. I said, no. You had a clarity about what your real values are. You realize that you had a higher value on your children and on your career than on your husband. He went off with somebody else because he wanted to get more appreciation. And that's not a failure. It's just a learning. It's just learning about who you are. And that you wanted to have babies and you used the individual to get the babies. And now you're seeing that it's actually helping you because that made you become more independent and helped you build your career and not rely on a guy. And when we started looking at what her values are, it was actually in line with what she really wanted. And she goes, I didn't. So the whole story about I failed is not true. I said, no, you were unconscious of what your values were and you were manifesting them unconsciously and you got what you wanted. And she goes, I did really. I said, so don't be a failure. Just stay and thank him. Thank yourself. Move forward. We only perceive ourselves making mistakes when we compare our actions to other people's values. And we only perceive other people making mistakes when we compare their actions to ours. But they live in their own values. Every decision they make is based on what they believe will give them the greatest advantage or disadvantage at that moment. And the same thing for us. We make decisions based on what we think will give the greatest advantage or disadvantage in our own values. So anytime we expect ourselves to live outside our values and somebody else's values, we're going to perceive ourselves as making mistakes. But we don't. We just think we did because we've compared it. When we finally realize that we're making decisions based on our own values. And once we can get clear that whatever's happening in our life is helping us do that, then we see things on the way. Life is on the way. It's not in the way. There's no mistakes or failures on there. It's just perception. So if you want to be more engaged, you want to be more inspired, identify what your values are and set sail as captain of your ship, master of your fate in the direction of what you value most. Find out what's really truly highest in value and prioritize your daily life to fit that. Delegate the rest. That means you'll have the accountability of going do something that serves people, that earns an income to be able to pay for the delegation. Or take whatever you're doing that may be a little lower on your values and link it to what is higher on your values. So you can take all of those things and supertask them, not multitask them, but supertask them. Because once you see them on the way, they're not in the way. And you're energized again and you're vital again and you're engaged again. I do both of those in the Breakthrough Experience. I teach people how to do both of those mechanisms in the Breakthrough Experience because it's a science. And it, because if you don't know how to, you have control of your perception, decisions, and actions. If you don't know how to take command of your perceptions and link whatever happens in your life to what you value most, you don't know how to take command of your actions and prioritize your actions according to your highest values, you're not going to have a fulfilling and inspired life. It's that simple. There's no rocket science here. Mastering those two things, which I explain in the Breakthrough Experience and outline and show you what to do, make you do it. are two extremely crucial actions to master your life. And many people think it's that they're victims of the world on the outside. There's no victims of the world on the outside. There's just people who've taken events and seen them in the way and labeled them and made them bad or good or whatever, and didn't realize it had nothing to do with what happened out there. It's everything to do with your perception of it. You can see that an event in your life that starts out terrible, a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years later, when you discover the links of how it's helped you in your life, you're now going, wow, thank God that occurred. I didn't see it, but now I can see if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be where I am. And the things you think are terrific, you think, wow. And then you sometimes weeks, months, years later, you look back, oh God, I was blind. But it's all perception. And if you can take whatever's happening and find out how it's fulfilling your highest value, you're engaged and inspired and adaptable and resilient. You're more objective, you're more expanded, you're more leader, you're more innovative. There's just, you get the most self-actualizing results by doing that. In the breakthrough experience, I teach people how to take whatever they perceive and whatever they're doing and how to link it or prioritize it so they can maximize their potential in life. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. And it has nothing to do with what we perceived or did. It's all about our mindset towards it. And knowing how to do that is partly what the breakthrough experience is about, partly why I do that. Because I found for myself, that's what allowed me to be resilient and move forward and accomplish more. And also allowed me to help other people do the same. And there's no reason why you can't do that in life. It's just a matter of taking the time and learning a few simple exercises and steps and then practicing them and making them part of your daily life.
Dr. DeMartini, another question I got from one of the attendees is, I run my own business and I have a big team that always asks me for help. I find that distracts me from being super focused on one task. What advice can you give to this attendee?
Well, there's a number of possibilities here. I can speculate because without talking to him, I can guess. First of all, you want to make sure that you don't feed and thrive on being the solution for other people's problems in the sense that sometimes we say this is distracting and bothering me, but at the same time you go in, engage, and instead of them figuring things out themselves and answering questions themselves, they keep relying on you. So instead of they brain offload, they don't want to take on the accountability. And so you just solve it. And then you're distracted because you're now sort of halfway delegating it and not really releasing it. So if the individual that you hire, when you're hiring them, is not seeing how the job description that they have is going to help them fulfill what they value most, they're not going to be engaged. And when they're not engaged, they don't want to solve problems. They'd rather offload them onto you. And then if you rescue them, they're not going to ever do it themselves. So this is why if you take the time to have them do a job description, first identify their own top values and do a job description and link it to their job description, their job description to their highest values, and get them more engaged. The more engaged they are, the more they actually enjoy tackling problems, coming up with solutions, innovating, and the more freed you are to go on and do what you want. So you want to make sure that you're not actually feeding their dependencies by one, rescuing them so they can't make a decision, or judging their decisions and punishing them if they're not right so they don't want to make decisions and take on the answers, or you're not showing them the resources where they can look up those answers and you're answering it more than once instead of writing it down and giving them a policy so they know what the answers are, or you're just rescuing them. And if you do, you're going to be distracted. So you have to stick to your own priorities and then let them go and learn their own accountabilities. I remember many years ago when I was in practice, the staff was bitching because we'd go past 6 o'clock and they wanted to go home at 6 because we worked from a certain time till 6 o'clock. And I said, well, then finish out your paperwork. We said, we can't finish out the paperwork until you're through with the patients. I said, okay, well then finish the paperwork before they go back. Take care of the transactions before they go back after 5:45. Anybody that comes in after 5:45, have them do the payments up front, everything else, because you know what the procedure is going to be because it's already signed, and do it all. And so what happened is they came up with a solution and they figured out the solution and they did it and they took it on. And I made a suggestion, just do that in a simple way. But they went on and figured out all the strategies and figured out, and we're out at 6 o'clock. And that means they didn't shortcut their services. They didn't shortcut their responsibilities. They just figured out how to do it more efficiently because I didn't rescue them. I gave them an idea, but they went out and figured it out. And every time that you let them figure it out, they become more confident to make decisions. And eventually you want to be surrounded by people that can make decisions so you're not bombarded by decisions. Otherwise, you're creating a dependency on you and they're offloading their decisions onto you and you're now distracting yourself with what are higher priority decisions, higher priority actions. So you have to stick to your own priorities if you want them to. And you need to hire people that are engaged or you need to get them engaged with a value determination process and the value linking process. I have a values training program just for that, for companies to help them do that, to maximize productivity and profitability and things of this nature. But in the breakthrough experience, I also show you that science of asking those questions and the spillover, if you got kids that are having difficulty in school, if you're having people at work that are unengaged, you got people that are not connecting in their relationship, they're disengaged in a relationship. You got kids that are not inspired by what they're doing in school or whatever. I assure you what I teach you in the breakthrough experience and also the linking process is a goldmine. It can save you a lot of aggravation because for some bizarre reason, nobody's taught this. I've devoured the literature. It just isn't out there. So I've introduced something that apparently is somewhat novel into the system because it's a major need and it works and it's reproducible, but it hasn't been thought through. I think people are so used to thinking, well, here's the values, this is what you have to do, and it's autocratic and that's what you have to live. And most people think that's what you're supposed to do. They're so used to subordinating to outside authority, they never think about their own values and they don't ever think about how they could take whatever's happening to them and link it. So when I've introduced that, it's novel and it's spreading and it's helping companies and individuals and families and people at school and educational systems and guidance counseling systems, it's spreading. So I'm absolutely certain that you can take the people at work, get them more engaged, they'll take on more responsibilities, don't rescue them, ask them what is their decision, and if they say the right decision, say, great, that's exactly what I do, trust yourself and go make decisions. And allow you to learn by trial and error and don't distract yourself from the higher priorities and train them and let them go, let them learn and don't rob them of accountability. If you rob them of accountability, productivity and dignity, they won't produce. And then you'll be micromanaging people all day long and putting fires out then distracting yourself from what's higher. And you could be producing way more by going in what's priority. And the cost of having to go down instead of up costs the company and everybody else from producing their fullest.
And Dr. DeMartini, any advice on what a leader in a business would be wise to do during this time to keep their team morale high and to help their team to stay focused on the business goals?
Well, if you're sitting there and not seeing it as a leader, not seeing the benefits of what's happening in your own business, and you're showing crisis and adding to the insecurity, that's obviously going to have a ripple effect down. So you have ultimately the ultimate responsibility to link whatever's happening on the way. Because the second you see whatever's happening on the way, your executive center comes online and you get creative and you come up with solutions and you innovate and you come up with more powerful and more efficient ways of getting what you want done. So I'm a firm believer in asking first, write down every single thing that you think is in the way and challenge and problems or whatever, write them down and ask how specifically is it on the way. If you have a solution, immediate solution for it and what you can do, great. But a lot of times there's fantasies about the way it's supposed to be. And you're comparing what's happening to what the fantasy is instead of actually, and not discerning between a fantasy and a problem. And a problem is something that you can come up with a solution to. A fantasy, you've got to break your fantasy. And if you're expecting something that's unrealistic and you then create problems because of that, you need to know what those are. But most of the time, if you just ask how specific is whatever is happening, how can we use it to our greatest advantage to fulfill what's highest on our value and link it? How's it on the way? Amazing opportunities come about. The morale goes up because people now see new ideas. They learn how to process challenge They learn how to innovate. They learn lots of things. And you can be an example of what's possible as a leader and initiate that. And that's, you know, in the breakthrough experience, I have people coming to the breakthrough experience and they're saying, well, my husband had an affair, or my wife had an affair, or my wife had to, is having this problem, or they did this and so-and-so did. And I ask a really simple question. Great. How'd that serve you? And they go, well, it didn't. I go, that's because you're choosing to see only the downside, and that's not the whole picture. So how is it helping you get what you want in life? Well, it's not. I go, no. How specific? To answer the question, be accountable. You want my help, but now you're wanting to not do what I'm telling you will work. So ask, how specifically is what has happened serve you? To teach you about communication, to teach you about your what your husband's values are, to teach you how to communicate effectively with a husband, to teach you that if you don't meet your customer's needs, they go somewhere else. Is it maybe you realize they're not committed to you, they're committed to their own values, and you've been living in a fantasy and you need to break your fantasy and grow up and mature? How is it helping you fulfill your values? How is it getting you empowered in your life? And once they dig, it's always there. I've yet to see anything that the mortal body can experience that you can't turn into opportunity and thank you. So once they do that, their morale goes up, their appreciation goes up, their engagement goes up, their creativity goes up. So you as a leader have the responsibility to find that out and set the standard for everyone below in the chain of command there to do the same. And holding them accountable to asking the questions and getting them come up with creative ways of finding out whatever is going on is helping them. Well, how do we solve it? Ultimately, it's about filling clients and customers and consumers' needs and doing it in a way that we're inspiring to us. So we asked, how specifically can we serve the greatest number of people and be the most inspired and efficient at doing it? If we ask that question, how is it helping us fulfill what's most valuable to us? We'll get that outcome. And there's nothing that you can experience that can't be turned into that. And if you have difficulties knowing how to do it, come to the breakthrough experience and let me show you how to do it. It's not that hard. It's just a matter of doing it. And once you learn it, you got it for life. And it's a powerful tool for the rest of your life, actually, on how to basically be resilient and adaptable and creative and innovative and productive. And that's when we feel the most fulfillment, when we're making some sort of contribution to people anyway. And we feel the most fulfilled when we can solve our own problems. Depending on having to depend on other people to solve our own problems is a dependency. Now, things that are low on your values, you want to delegate people to do it. But things that are inspiring to you, you want to keep at the cutting edge and keep tackling new challenges. The greater the challenges and problems you solve in your life will be the greater the life that you live. How big a problem have you solved in life? That'll tell you how big a life you're going to have, and how valuable you'll be in the world, and how much income you'll probably generate, because income is a result of solving people's problems and solving your own.
And Dr. DeMartini, what about emotions impacting the focus of engagements? If somebody is highly angry or depressed, you know, then what can they do to get back into their focus?
Well, anger is unmet expectation. And 99% of all anger is, if it's directed to somebody else, it's a self-righteous perception of the individual projecting their expectations in their own values onto somebody else and expecting somebody else to live in their values. And, or they're expecting them to live one-sided lives, positive without negative, nice without mean, kind without crude, delusions. And they're expecting them to match the fantasy that they have about how they're supposed to be, which is just a plain delusion. See, the reality is what reality is. And anytime you're not, you're expecting something other than reality with reality, you're going to be upset. You're going to be angry. You know, I had a woman that she said, well, my husband's late every night. And I'm like, okay. And what's he doing? He's working. Okay. So he's feeling like he's, so I got a question for you. Is there something you're doing that's making him not want to come home early? She goes, no. And I said, are you sure? You might want to ask him that. And two, is it because he's got high priority things that is important to him because you're focusing on the kids and he's focusing at work and he wants the freedom to do it so his mind is clear when he comes home? And you might want to ask these questions. I said, and how is it benefiting you? Well, it's not. Well, no, how is it benefiting? I didn't ask if it was. I said, how is it benefiting you? Is it making sure that you say, okay, you have a box, a fantasy that you have to have kids and family eating every single night, and that's ideal, but that's not always going to be real. He does that about 5 out of 7 nights a week, or 5 out of 6, but maybe one night a week he's going to be late. So how does that serve you? Well, he should do that. People don't live by other people's shoulds. That's not how to live your life. You got to wake up and quit projecting self-righteousness, your values onto other people. And then if you're angry at yourself, you can't live in other people's values. Nobody can sustain it except moments of infatuation. When you first get together with them, you can sacrifice yourself for other people temporarily, but eventually that wanes. So if you're expecting yourself to live in other people's values, you're going to beat yourself up. In the breakthrough experience every weekend, I'm shattering those myths, showing people how to get real, showing people what their values are, showing how to communicate, helping people break through those illusions, because that undermines more marriages, more business dynamics, more customer arrangements, more friendships, by living in a delusion that people are supposed to live in your values and they're supposed to be one-sided, and you're supposed to live in their values and you're supposed to be one-sided. I crack the 15 most common myths in the breakthrough experience that people cause anger with. And depression is a comparison of your current reality to a fantasy about it, what it once was or what it's supposed to be. I've yet to see a depression. By God, I'm so frustrated sometimes with this delusion that it's a pharmaceutical problem with depression. I've not seen one clinical depression in all the years I've been working with people that didn't have completely delusionary, unrealistic fantasy expectations running their lives. One or many of them, there's 15 of them I outlined in the breakthrough experience. And I watch that every single weekend, and there's people come in with, you know, Paxil or drugs or whatever, and they have this fantasy. And the process, what they're doing is they're comparing their reality to these fantasies and these unrealistic expectations, and they end up beating themselves up and feeling depressed. And it's rewarding to be able to break that and show them and dissolve it and take them off the medications in many cases. I don't do it, they do it. But the point is but it's just showing them how to do it and freeing themselves up of that, because people are walking around thinking they have a deficiency of drugs. They don't. They have a delusion about how they run their life. And it's insane what goes on in the world today, that people just run for a pill instead of learn how to master their freaking life. I'm interested in teaching people how to master their life and how to ask new questions and how to prioritize their life and how to engage themselves and how to get inspired at work and get inspired to learn and get inspired in their actions. There's absolutely no reason why you can't do that in life. No reason. There's all the bullshit that's basically been taught about the quick fix, take a pill and every ill and everything else. It's just, there's a place for it when you have a true emergency and a true crisis and a true issue and a brain that's not working, that's fine. But that's not 99% of the population. And I'd rather teach people how to regain their power and claim their and how to get grounded. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people that have been, quote, clinically depressed, dissolve it by learning how to crack their fantasy, set realistic expectations, not be angry. I call it the anger and aggression, blame and betrayal, criticism and challenge, despair and depression, desire to exit and escape, frustration, futility, grouchiness and grief, hatred and hurt, and insanity and irritability. Those are the ABCDFGH's eyes of negativity that are underlying every depression and anger. And it's so simple on how to dissolve. I show people how to do it in the breakthrough experience, and it's insane that people aren't just taking advantage of their power inside instead of running and taking some pill. And with all the side effects and the psychosis and the symptoms of the pills over time, and half of them are placebo anyway.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all 7 areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.